Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, I mentioned this research at the very start of the programme that tells us that parents, you know, like, while they might insist, most parents insist, that they treat all their children the same, equally, this survey today tells us that sons and daughters are actually raised in strikingly different ways. Anne Kyo is a principal clinical psychologist, and you're very welcome to the programme. Should we be surprised by this research today?
Thanks, Andrea, and it's a great topic. I suppose it's a grabbing headline, but I would kind of avoid making massive generalizations from it. It's a study of 100 parents or 100 adults who kind of talked about their childhoods, so talked about how they were raised at home. So it doesn't tell us all we need to know. I mean, there are, what we do when we dig into the detail, there are differences in how parents socialize their children. So the kind of rules and expectations they put on their children can tend to have gender differences. But it's not proof that they should or are parented differently. It's interesting because it suggests that how we're parenting different genders does matter. But it's not massively different, or kind of, it's not as shocking as you like it, as it tries to say.
It was published in the journal Human Nature. It seems to be, they describe it as a measurement of 73 types of behaviours grouped into 13 nearly kind of broad different categories. And just to give listeners a flavour of some of the responses they received, they talk about researchers discovering that daughters are often given more advice on dating and relationships, as well as getting more protection and financial support. And meanwhile, the sons seem to be encouraged to be more competitive, to get help with sports and athletics, and they're allowed more sexual freedom. So is that not the case, Anne, then, in your experience?
Well, I mean, there are certainly gender differences in how we socialise young people. So there are tendencies for fathers for male children to be encouraged more strongly in physical play. And parents can have a higher tolerance for, if you like, rough play or aggression in boys than they would for girls. So there are certain different standards. It's fair to say that parents, or some, the world, I suppose, not just parents, tends to give women more relationship advice than it would to men or boys. So that some of these are cultural gender differences that are played out in our role as parents, more so than kind of conscious activities that parents do to socialise their children differently. So there are cultural expectations. You'll see that in all forms of life, if you like, but around these different categories.
I would have also thought as well, Anne, and I've, you know, like, not by way of this sort of study or research today, but I would have thought it actually depended nearly more on where you come in line, whether you're the eldest child or the middle or the youngest, rather than whether you're the boy or girl, in terms of how your parents socialise you.
Yeah, that is such an interesting kind of comment, in that anyone who comes in any order in a family will have their role. Like, I had a certain way because I was the youngest, or I had more responsibility as the eldest, and they are real positions. What we see over time, the research on that would say that balances out, so you're not more likely to be a kind of a boss if you're the firstborn, or kind of a not so in charge if you're the youngest. So
yeah, that you get away with murder when you're the youngest child.
They tend to at times, but that doesn't actually change your whole life, is what I would argue on that one.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, what we're seeing in this research is that all children are individually different. So all parents do their absolute best to parent the individual child. But societally, we are influenced by what we expect of women and men, or girls and boys. But within gender differences are also very real. So within boys there's a huge range, within girls there's a huge range, and Irish society has changed so much in the past generation. Like, you know, seeing a man or a granddad walking a buggy wouldn't have happened 30 years ago. That is actively happening everywhere now. And women in leadership, girls kind of taking the lead on a football team, like, it's women in sport. We are changing rapidly. And I think the article is nice, a little bit sensationalized, but it does remind parents to think about that when you're focusing on, say, your expectations for sport, or to be the boss in a game, or, you know, rough play at home, that actually, and parents do this, but parent the child you have, not the kind of expectations you should have of them, but to loosen up that gender stereotype so that it's okay for boys to cry, it's okay for girls to be physical, you know, and that we play with that.
Katie Mack is joining us too, Anne. Katie is the host of the Opinions Matter podcast. Katie, do you parent your children differently, or how do you navigate that?
Hi, Andrea. Well, yeah, I do. But the reason that I do isn't because of, you know, their genders. It's because of their personalities. And I find, I worked with children for years, and I find in general, I find that girls, where they're a lot more independent than boys generally. I see my daughter in the mornings, like before, when they were going to school and stuff, you know, she'd dress herself. Or even now at the weekends, we get up and she's, you know, "Mommy, where's my clothes? I want to get dressed." Whereas I have to nearly, even though my son is seven, I nearly have to like stand behind him to get him to get dressed. And so I find that girls are slightly more demanding than boys. I find boys are a lot more relaxed. So I think it's probably to do with boys and girls are very different. And most people I speak to who would say, well, they have a boy and a girl, or who have both, I'd always say, do you find that your daughter is, you know, more stubborn and kind of wants more of your time, more of your money as well, by the way, when you go to the shop, totally wants more of your money as well. And I kind of say, do you notice the difference? Because I'm always fascinated by it. And 9 times out of 10, somebody who's both a boy mom and a girl mom will say that there's a massive difference in how they're parenting their boy compared to how they're parenting the girl, purely because the personalities and kind of. I just find that girls are a lot more stubborn, and definitely they'll challenge you a lot more. So therefore, you have to kind of be a bit more strict and stern with them, because with my son, he's just so relaxed and so chilled out, and I can talk him around easy. If he's having a moment, I can, with herself, it's a different ball game. She'd run rings around me if I didn't. But in terms of like the gender stereotype and that, like in my house, you know, they both know, you can do whatever you want, whatever makes you happy. If my daughter wants to work on a building site, she can do that. If my son wants to do ballet, he can do it. Mm. Once they're happy, I don't care.
Yeah.
But I don't like this thing of, you know, boys shouldn't cry. Like if my son gets upset and he's kind of saying to me, there's been times before we're coming out of school and he's kind of overwhelmed, the day's over and he's exhausted and he's coming out and he kind of be upset, maybe there's something and he's going to start crying. He's like, oh, I don't want to cry in front. And I'm like, it's all right. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with crying. And I hate this thing with parents who say to their kids, you know, oh, you can't cry, big boys don't cry and stuff. I'm like, that's such a load of rubbish. You know, it's just so unhealthy to teach a child that.
And that's the thing, I suppose. It's one of the things they found too, like that, you know, in often cases, habits, you know, the habits that we have, and for parents, they're things we've inherited, you know, from nearly kind of our ancestors. And as you say, Katie, thankfully that has evolved, you know, and hopefully you don't see as much of that.
But I remember, Andrea, when I was working in a Montessori, we were doing dress up, and this isn't a word of a lie. A father came in and his son would have been before, and this real man's man, you know, very like work out in the gym almost every day and very macho and everything else. And I remember his son was wearing, I'll never forget, it was like the blue Cinderella dress. And my God, he went to management and everything, and he was like, I'm sorry, I didn't bring my son into creche to be put in a dress. So we were basically told that during dress up, we're not to let him wear a dress anymore. He actually went to the manager and raised it. I thought, you know, this is a kid with an imagination. Like, leave him alone. Do you know what I mean? But we were told you're not allowed to put that child in a dress, because the parent made not only a complaint to the class, but actually went to the, you know. And if my kids, if I bring my kids into a toy shop or whatever, if my daughter wants to go to the boys' section or my son wants to go to the girls' section,
who cares? What about it? Eric is on the line too. Eric, you've a son and daughter as well, haven't you? You've both.
Two girls and a boy.
Two girls and a boy, yeah. And does your approach differ, or
When I started, I tried to do the same stuff with all of them. But as your two previous speakers said, their personalities, when they start developing a personality, they go their own way. So I take all my children to sport, to organised sport, to team sports, to individual sports. And they all do 3 or 4 sports each. But then when they come home, they're very different. So my two daughters just they love going in colouring, and they have dolls and they have teddies and they love all that, despite my best efforts to get them outside to kick a ball or whatever. And my son then, when he comes home, first thing he does is picks up the ball and kicks against the wall, or at the moment he's playing this game called Two Square, which is kind of like a handball type thing, and he's just loving it. So while I try to raise them all the same, I have to be cognizant well of their own likes and dislikes and what they want to do. So I'm not going to go in and force my daughters outside if they want to colour mostly, but obviously I'll encourage them. But if they want to go back in, they go back in. It's the same with my son. I'm not going to take the ball off and tell him to go inside and colour because he doesn't like it. And so Like most parents, you have ideals of what you want to do, but then as your child grows up and gets older and gets wiser, they have their own interests, and you encourage them towards that, and you help them within their own interests. That's what I find. I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. Yeah. But I'm just saying that's how I found
but
over.
There's probably no right or wrong, Anne, is there, to all of this?
No, there's absolutely no right or wrong, and it's beautiful to hear these parents' descriptions of what that's like at home. I can imagine parents listening, going, "You know, that's how I want to do
my
it
house.
Too." Exactly. But I think what we should celebrate, if we can, are the ones, the norm breakers or the rule breakers, who step outside the kind of binds of confines, like the little chap wearing the dress, or the other girl maybe playing on the football team full of lads. Those children need to be celebrated because they're really pushing through societal boundaries. And it's fabulous to see that. We all want that. It's gorgeous.
Anne Kyo, Eric, Katie Mack, thanks a million for joining us today. The email, if you want to share your own stories, is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.